Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Talk. I am your host, Kim Davis, and what a busy, busy, busy sports week it's been, right? Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. Happy Thursday. It is October the 18th, and man, a lot has happened since we were last together on last Thursday. So we're going to get ready to it. Wow. First of all, welcome. Over on Blog Talk, you can send me notes on Periscope. You can send your questions and comments, and I'll get to as many of those as I can in the next 30 minutes that we have together. Remember, we're working on making this a half-hour show and possibly moving it to 2 days a week so that more of you can watch the show and be a part of the show live. Remember, please share the video, if you will, with your social media communities so that we can continue to grow the family of Chalk Talk, the Chalk Talk tribe. All right, so here's what's going on. And last night was a long night. I mean, I didn't even get my workout in this morning, but I'll get to it later in the day, I promise. The Houston Rockets opened their regular season at home. And I don't want to mess up the numbers, so I just brought my final box score with me, right? So the Rockets, the regular season at home against the New Orleans Pelicans. Now, of course, it is a long season. It is an 82 games in the regular season. The Rockets won 65 last year, which was a franchise record. Don't expect them to break that this year, all right? They're still going to be good. They will still be a playoff team, and we still could be talking about them as, you know, being, you know, vying for the Western Conference title, unseen Golden State. But last night, let me just tell you, they got off to a slow start, like really, really slow start. They lost to the Pelicans. The final was 131. The Pelicans scored 131 points, and the Rockets scored 112. Let's just stop right there. So I know many of you who may follow the Rockets are going, man, see, they don't have any defense. They lost Trevor Ariza and Emba Amute. They did. But let me also say that the Pelicans scored 125 points a game during the preseason. They didn't win all those games, but they're going to score some points. They're fast, right? They run, and they ran last night, and the Rockets have not faced. This is not an excuse. I'm just kind of telling you what we saw, what I saw. They haven't faced that kind of offense in the preseason. And Coach Mike D'Antoni said they were tired. After the game, he said that they were tired and they just didn't, you know, they basically couldn't really keep up. Not his words, my words. But he said that he did say his team got tired. They got down big early. They fought back a little and then New Orleans just kept running. So Anthony Davis had 32 points last night. Nikola Mirotic had 30 points. Julius Randle had 25 points off the bench. You can expect Anthony Davis to average maybe 30 points a game. He's good. Like, he's really, really good. The Rockets last night shot 42% from the field, 33% from the three-point line. On the other side, the Pelicans shot 53% from the field. You just can't let people come into your building and shoot 53%. All right? You just, it's tough to win like that. And they shot 40% from the three-point line. They put up 25 threes. The Rockets shot 48. So in terms of rebounds, they got out-rebounded 53-37. But the points in the paint, the Pelicans had 76 points in the paint. The Rockets had 44. The Pelicans were in the paint 61 times. The Rockets, 40. I mean, the in the paint number is big, right? And I had somebody inbox me and asked me, what is in the paint? So when you're watching the game and that space under the basket, that's a different color, that's colored in, that's under the basket that goes out to the free throw line, that little space, that's what we call the paint. And it's really it's really about your bigs. You know, you play inside, you play on the block and the paint. That's what the paint is. And the Rockets, they're Clint Capella is your big guy. Nene is hurt. And you don't have a lot of, who else do you have? I mean, you know, Carmelo had 27 minutes off the bench. He finished with 9 points, 4 rebounds. He had 4 fouls, a couple turnovers, 1 block shot. You know, you don't have a lot of size in terms of being able to compete down low. So the Rockets just, they obviously have some things to work on. It was not the way they would want to start their season, but they're going to be much better than what you saw last night, right? They're going to be much better than that. So I'm with Mike D'Antoni. I wouldn't panic. I think it's way too soon for that. It's one game. They do head out to play the Lakers this weekend in Los Angeles. Trying to see, let me look at something here. And then next week, they're back home on Wednesday. So, you know, it was, they play the Lakers on Saturday night. They've got a couple days to work a few things out. They're in LA on Saturday, and then they have a back-to-back. They play the Clippers on Sunday, also in LA. Then they come back and they play next week at home, Utah on Wednesday, the Clippers on Friday, and then Portland. So they are starting all in the West, right, before they head to the road and start taking on a couple of teams from the East. So is it too soon to panic? Absolutely. Is this team going to be a good team? Yes, they are. Was last night awful? Absolutely. Yes, it was. All right, so let's move on to probably the hottest topic of the day in the sports world, the Houston Astros in the American League Championship Series, Game 4 last night at Minute Maid Park. They entered that game trailing the Red Sox 2-1. It is the best to four, the best 4 out of 7, right, is what the best 4 out of 7 is who wins it and gets to go to the World Series. Last night, the controversial way that is even made, you know, news headlines around the country this morning, Jose Altuve hits what looks like is a 2-run homer, and it is called an out because the umpires ruled that it was interference by fans. Mookie Betts went up for the ball. So here's what the rule is, the MLB rule is about interference. If the fan goes across the line, right? There's a line. There's the seats, right? And if they go across that line that makes it the seat from the open space to the field, if they go across that line, that's interference. If the player reaches into the stands, if they catch the ball, that's one thing, right? But if they reach into the stands and are unable to make the catch, that's not supposed to be interference. So the question becomes, did Mookie Betts go into the stands? Did he break that plane, right? Did he break the plane and go into the stands? Or did the fan go over the edge and go into the field? That's really the difference in interference. But it was controversial. It looked to me like it was a home run, not just because I'm a Houstonian and want to see the Astros win. I'm pretty objective. It looked like Mookie went into the stands, and so it should not have been interference. Well, that's not the ruling. So that what would have been 2-run home run was not counted. The Astros lost 8-6. That could have been the difference in the ball game, right? So it had a lot of fans hot. The game went down to the wire. Alex Bregman, with 2 men on last night in the bottom of the ninth, had a couple It was two outs, and he lined a ball to left. It looked like a heck of a. I mean, he got his bat on it, right? But they just made a great play. They made a great play, played defensively. That was a. It was a two out line drive out to left field, and just. The Red Sox made a great defensive play on ball game. The Red Sox now lead the series 3-1. Game 5 is tonight at Minute Maid Park. Justin Verlander will be the starting pitcher for the Houston Astros. So, you know, I picked the Astros to win it in 6. That clearly is not going to happen now. They're going to have to go to 7 to win it. So I expect that tonight they will be on it. They will win Game 5. The series will go back to Boston, and I expect it to go. Last night was just deflating. I mean, and the game wasn't over until after midnight. It was like 4.5-hour game. Started at 7:39. I think it was 4 hours and 33 minutes or 53 minutes, whatever the time of the game was. It was a long game. So, what are your thoughts about that? Good morning, Sylvia. Welcome. That's my sister joining us on Chalk Talk this morning. If you are watching, please be sure to share the video. There's a little button underneath the broadcast on your screen. And if you just hit the share now, that'd be great. I'd appreciate that. What is on your mind? If you watched the Astros game last night, do you have a thought, right? What did you think happened? Did you think that was the right call? I mean, should it have been considered an out, or was Altuve and were the Astros robbed of a two-run homer that would have been the difference in the ball game? Those 2 points, at least it would have been 8. It would have been tied at 8. Yeah, it has been in a really interesting series. The Astros have been right there along the way. Good morning, Vicky. Welcome. Vicky's joining us on Chalk Talk. Thank you for tuning in. Anybody watch the Astros game? What did you think about last night? And who did you think? Did you think the Astros got robbed? Did you think the umpires just missed it, made the wrong call? I think they made the wrong call. I think they blew it. Of course, there are some who say, well, it's because the baseball is it's a conspiracy. Baseball wants it to be L.A. and Boston in the World Series for ratings. And that may be their desire, but I don't think it's rigged. I just think they blew it. I don't think it was less intentionally, you know, robbed the Astros. That's just me. I'd like to believe that there's more integrity in the sport. I just think they blew it. They blew the call. And it didn't feel great if you're an Astros fan. And it certainly didn't feel great if you're one of the members of the Astros team. So that's what happened last night. Tonight is a whole nother ball game. It's win tonight or go home. So trying to see your show. Somebody just said trying to see your show. Oh, I think you have to come over to, if you're trying to watch the show, you need to come over to my Kim Y. Davis page. And of course, if you're not able to see the show, how would you hear me say that? So let me send this person a message. Check it out. Let me know what you think. Here we go. Okay. All right. So that's my thoughts about the Astros. Let me also tell you that Presley has been the Astro. I don't want to say Astro killer because that sounds kind of dramatic and extreme, but David Presley has been, he's gotten some very big hits against the Astros. I'm trying to pull it up. So tonight, David Price will get the start. He was warming up. He was throwing last night in the bullpen in case they needed him, but they didn't. Justin Verlander has been throwing the ball well. And so, of course, we're counting on him tonight. Okay. All I appreciate people really trying to see the show and letting me know that they are having some challenges. Let me come back to you. So Justin Verlander gets a start tonight against David Price. And I wanted to give you some information that I just thought was interesting on Bradley. He's hitting 208, but his slugging percentage is 542. He's got 9 RBIs in this series. Good morning, Charles Brooks. Welcome, welcome to Chalk Talk. We're talking about last night's game right now. thank you. Welcome to the show. And I have to make sure I remind people to come over to the page when they're watching, when they follow me on my regular page that we host the show from here. So we're talking about last night's Astros game. If you had a chance to see it, what are your thoughts about it? Do you think the Astros got robbed? Are you confident the Astros can win game 5? I'll be there tonight. I think they can win game 5. I believe that all that has happened in this series, which has made it really high drama and a great series for Major League Baseball, I think the Astros are still the Astros we thought they were when they entered into this series. When they started the ALCS, I picked the Astros to win it in 6. They obviously cannot win it in 6 games because now they're trailing 3-1. It's the best of 7, the best 4 out of 7. They'll have to win the next 3 games in a row to advance to the World Series. I think this Astros team can do that. I was talking about Bradley Jr., who has just been pretty remarkable. If the Red Sox win this series, Bradley is the MVP. He hit that grand slam home run on Tuesday night in the 8th inning that put the game out of reach, right? It's the only time that Roberto Osuna has given up a grand slam. So it was very unexpected that he would give up a grand slam. He's not done it historically. He's your closer. He's what you count on. He's what the Astros went to. That was a tough night for them on Thursday night. Sylvia says, I'm still pulling for the Astros. Yeah, I mean, that's what it's about. You know, it's just like everything else in life. It's overcoming adversity. It is, if you believe that you're good enough, it's continuing to fight through it. So you feel like you got robbed on a play. You think Altuve's home run, which was ruled an out for fan interference, or interference by a fan, you think that was a mistake? Then it just can't be that close, right? One of the things the Astros have been able to do is to get hits up and down their lineup. A good thing that happened last night is we're seeing Carlos Correa his bat has come alive. He's been hitting the ball well. And that's big for the Astros, right? Jackie Bradley Jr. I mean, his average is not great, but his on-base percentage has been pretty phenomenal. His on-base percentage is .314. His slugging percentage is .403. But he's in this series, he's got 9 RBIs. So he's a guy that they really have to watch and watch how they're pitching to him. The good thing for the Astros is they have their ace, Justin Verlander, on the mound tonight getting the start. And if he can give them 6 good innings, right, if he can give them 6 good innings, which gives the bullpen a little bit of a break, then they can get back in sync. When your starter only gets you through 3 or 4, then you've got to start making some decisions about your bullpen. And you don't want to have to go too deep because you don't want to have to pull one of your starters. Like last night, the Red Sox had David Price throwing in the bullpen because he would have been next man up if they needed to make a pitching change, if Kimmel had not been able to get it done. So I was looking at what we had. And then David Price, in that case, would not have been able to start tonight. So Sales, who started in game 1 for the Red Sox, was ill. In fact, when I was going in game two on Tuesday night, I mean, game three, he and I walked into the stadium at the same time. He came in a little bit later than the team. He had to go to the hospital, and, you know, but he's, so giving him more time to be able to start, it works out better for the Red Sox. However, back to the Astros. Tonight, they'll have Justin Verlander. They've been using Altuve as a designated hitter because he's had the knee problem. He's been a little bit banged up, and so, but he's been swinging the bat. And last night, it was crucial. All right, so we're going to move on and talk about your Houston Texans. We talked about the Rockets. The Rockets got off to an awful start last night. There's really nothing good you can say about that game other than it's over. You cannot give up 131 points and win a ball game, and you definitely can't give up that many points in your building. I mean, it just – it was bad. No defense. You know, 112 points. I'm not worried about the Rockets offense. Neither is Dan Toney. That's exactly what he said. They're going to score points. 112 points. If you're scoring 112 points, you should win ball games. You should not have to score 132 points to win a ball game. But you're going to have to be able to stop somebody. You can't let people get out to that quick of a start and get ahead of you, because then you're playing catch up and you're spending so much energy the whole game to try to catch back up and get back into it. So that's what happened with the Rockets. The Houston Texans have now won three games in a row. They beat the Buffalo Bills this past Sunday at NRG Stadium. The final was 20-13. Jonathan Joseph sealed the win with a pick six late in the game. And actually, it was about less than a minute and a half left in regulation. And I was sitting here going, please, not in overtime. Not overtime. Because for previous two games, the Texans had won in overtime. So, Jonathan Joseph, the one that so many of you send me notes and inbox me about and say that he's old and he's you know, his time is up. Well, he had a 28-yard interception return for a touchdown that sealed the victory with a minute and 23 seconds left in the game. The Texans have won three in a row this weekend. They are playing in Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. Now, think about this. The Jaguars, a team that we thought was going to be a whole lot better this year because of how they looked last year, right? They got to the AFC Championship game and lost to the Patriots. We talked about that Jaguars defense and how good that defense is. We know that Blake Bortles leaves a bit to be desired, so their offense is a little questionable. But the Jaguars gave up 40 points last week to the Dallas Cowboys. And I had another friend said, well, you know what, Kim? The week before, the Texans beat the Cowboys, and the Cowboys went on and beat the Jaguars, so the Texans should beat the Jaguars. Well, maybe. So here's what I will say to you. The Texans have talent. Do they have some holes? Absolutely. But the Texans' bigger problem is their deficit in coaching. Hey, Whopperhead, welcome, welcome. It's good to see you. Thank you for being a part of the show. The Texans' biggest deficit is their coach, Thank goodness for Romeo Crennel. The defense to the side of the ball. But Bill O'Brien is just predictable. They don't run any slants. They don't run any short out routes. They just, you know what they're going to call before they call it. There's no need to steal plays from the Texans because you know what you're going to see. So, you know, Bill O'Brien, who's also the offensive coordinator, needs some help. He needs a real offensive coordinator. And it's just, you know, they're not as bad as their record and some of what we've seen. Well, let me say this. Bill Parcells said a year ago, you are what your record is. If your record says you're 0-6, then that's how you're 0-6. So when people say we're better than our record indicates, no, you are what your record says you are. So the Texans are what the record says they are. Okay, but they should be better than that. That's my point. They should be better than what we've seen. And I just surely hope. So let's see. One, two, three. So they're 3-3. So this weekend they play the Jaguars in Jacksonville. And then next week they're back and they play a Thursday night game. They play host to the Miami Dolphins, who right now are 4-2. And then they have a bye week, right? That's not true. They play the Broncos in Denver, and then their bye week is in week 10. So they still have a couple games before that, all right? The Texans are 3-3, and they play the Jaguars this weekend. The Jaguars are also 3-3. So the Texans are actually tied for the lead in the AFC South, which is just, of course, not the best division in the NFL. And I don't really know what the answer is, because it looks, you know, Bob McNair is not real big on paying off coaches. And they just gave Bill O'Brien a new 5-year deal in the offseason. I still struggle with how that happened or why that happened. But like he said in game one, it is what it is. So here's a question. Wopperhead, you're absolutely right. He's predictable, stubborn, and hasn't won enough to be such a person that comes across as knowing it all. You pretty much summed it up. You know, he's gotten a lot of credit from being from that from the Bill Belichick tree. He coached under Bill Belichick. He was an offensive coordinator. He then got a head job. He went to Penn State, and for some, I don't know who, but there's some who called him like this quarterback guru. By my estimation, he is the exact opposite. He's like the worst thing a quarterback needs. Quarterbacks that work under him leave here and go off to other places and seem to do better. I just hope that he doesn't rob Deshaun Watson of what he's so good at. Like, Deshaun Watson could be a good player to watch in this league, and one of the best for years to come, if O'Brien doesn't ruin him, if he doesn't get him hurt, if he doesn't, you know, deprogram him from that championship mindset and all the things that make him really good. Now, let me say this. I do stand corrected on one thing. I said the Texans have good talent. They do. They do still need some help on the offensive line. I mean, their offensive line still needs some help. And Deshaun's got to do a few things. He's got to get rid of the ball sooner. He's got to stop holding on to the ball so much and take it. And the reason he takes so many risks running the ball is because he just doesn't have a lot of protection up front. And so there are some things that if he continues to grow as an NFL quarterback, he will get better at. But listen, you know, There's some good young quarterbacks in this league. We've been talking about Patrick Mahomes all season. They lost against the Patriots in New England on Sunday night, but that game was, 40-43? That was a good football game. Monday Night Football, we saw Garoppolo and Rodgers in a Monday night matchup between the Packers and the 49ers. That was a good football game. So there are some good quarterbacks and good young quarterbacks around the league. There's some not so great coaching. I talked about Ryan. I'm going to throw this in because I know there are some Raider followers as well. John Gruden is not doing a great job. It shows that he hasn't coached in 10 years, right? But he's another person that comes off as though he is the end-all be-all for the NFL. The biggest mistake he's made so far, in my opinion, was not re-signing Khalil Mack. Not taking care of Khalil Mack and getting him in the fold. Khalil Mack and the Chicago Bears have become relevant. And a lot of that, Jello Gene Berry over on Periscope, a lot of that is because of what Khalil Mack is bringing to that Chicago Bear defense. So it is still early. I mean, we're not quite at the halfway point of the NFL season, but there's not a lot of time to decide who you're going to be when you grow up. And so this game on Sunday for the Texans and the Jaguars, it's pretty big. We'll see what this Texans team is really made of. We'll see who the Jaguar. Who are the Jaguars? Are they the team that lost to Dallas by 32 points? I mean, Dallas shut down their offense, which is not a huge thing because we talked about the challenges the Jaguars are having offensively. But defensively, Dallas scored 40 points. So it seems to be that Dallas has troubles on the road. When Ezekiel Elliott was asked about that after the game, like, what is the problem that you guys have when you're on the road? How are you such a different team on the road than you are at home? He talked about a lack of communication. So while he wasn't intentionally trying to throw Dak Prescott, call him out or throw him under the bus, it is a bit of, that's kind of what it means, right? Because that's, your quarterback is responsible for the communication. Your quarterback is responsible for identifying the, you know, the inside linebacker, the Mike linebacker, the one making the play calls. And so Ezekiel says they have communication issues on the road. Well, we'll see what happens. The Jaguars will be at home. Are they a different team at home? Will they be a different team at home on Sunday? What Texans team will we see? Will this offense take another step? Will Bill O'Brien take another step? That's my bigger concern. I don't know that you can get around that good playing can outdo or supersede bad coaching. I just don't know. So anyway, and before we go, because we're just about out of time, make sure you vote for my friends in Atlanta and Georgia. You guys better get to the polls. They are doing all kind of shenanigans in Georgia because they are concerned that Shirley Abrams could actually become the next governor. So what I'm saying is, I'm not telling you who to vote for, but I am telling you to get out and vote. I'm saying make sure you vote. Make sure you have whatever you need when you go to vote. There are many states that you can vote on the day of. You can register on the day of when you show up. Texas is not one of those places. If you did not register in the state of Texas, you cannot vote. If you are registered, be on the lookout. Get ready to start with early voting. Make sure you vote. Tell everybody that you know to vote. This is a really important election, and we can, you know, we can change some things. You know, there's so much at stake. So in addition to talking about what's happening in the sports world, I'm always going to suggest that you vote, all right? Make sure you vote. Make sure you pay attention, and hey, just be vigilant, right? These are times now that we've got to keep our eyes on what's happening. I mean, if you live in Houston, look at what's happening with HISD. Ah, there's just so much to do. There's so much work to do. So listen, I'm going to be covering the Astros game tonight at Minute Maid Park. So follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Facebook. My Twitter handle is at Kim Y. Davis. So follow me tonight. I'll have updates for you throughout the game. I'll have post-game interviews after the game. I'm hoping it's not a long, late night like last night, but I'm also hoping that however long it takes, the Astros win this game and send this series back to Boston, back to Boston, and send it to Game 7 because the Astros are still in it. They still could be World Series champions again this year. They just got to handle their business. They've got a pitch. They can't afford to give. They can't afford to spot the Red Sox. And the bats are coming alive, some bats that haven't been alive. Correa is hitting the ball well. That's a great thing for the Astros. So I look forward to that. And, of course, over the weekend, you can follow me because I'll be letting you know what's happening with the Texans and also the Rockets. The Rockets are playing in L.A. over the weekend. But follow me on Twitter for between the shows. And as always, thank you so much for being a part of Chalk Talk. Share the video so that we can continue to grow the tribe and make it a great, great week. Remember, do something kind for yourself and do something kind for somebody else. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you next week on Chalk Talk. All right, everybody over on Periscope, thank you for joining me. Have a great week. I'll see you next Thursday.